Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. ReadingThePlay.com.
And Jimmy, I know that we're about to talk about the test, so I just want to tee off a little early here. I've said over recent weeks that I thought that there just looked a bit of a gap in that market, and I couldn't believe that in a two-leg race that England would have been 440. Well, lo and behold, they just kept blowing like a gale. What I just absolutely stunned me over the last 2 days leading into the test yesterday, that England come out here unprepared with no first-class cricket over recent weeks. And, you know, they've had a couple of years to prepare their schedule for this. But then leave out their two best long-term bowlers. Yes, they have a little bit of age around Anderson and Broad, but both of them, all suggestions are fit and could have played. I just can't believe the negative leadership. I mean, yes, it's a five-test series, but surely in any team sport where you've got a five-game series to decide a contest, you play from the front and you play with your best. I'm absolutely staggered that they end up... They announced 2 days out that they're leaving Anderson out. Then the morning, an hour before the test starts, they name that Broad's out. And yes, it was probably the right toss to lose. Australia bowled very well, caught everything that went their way, and England completely crumbled. But I can't believe the impact of leaving those two guys out. I mean, I think Broad's got Warner, 12 times in their recent matches? You know, so there's no Broad rolling in this morning, the matchup with Warner. To me, it's just absolute negativity right from the very day one of the opening of the test. I mean, England now just almost look lambs to the slaughter for the series, purely their mental approach, let alone what they're doing on the park.
Well, everyone talks, don't they, Tristan? I mean, we've had Hads on these podcasts, the Keeping Watch podcasts, and he talks about how important it is to start well. Australia didn't have a first test at the Gabba last year, but they did have that first test at Adelaide. They did start well. It didn't finish well, obviously, against India. But the record against England in Brisbane is phenomenal. And you're right, Jared. Like, you know, if they only play two test matches, Broad and Anderson, then the Gabba and Adelaide are the two test matches. The fact that they're back-to-back in the schedule, so be it. You know, get them through that and get them... because that's when you're going to get best use out of them. The conditions suit them as the way they bowl. They're world-class players. Otherwise, what are they doing here? It's a really, really strange, one. I thought all bowlers bowled well for Australia, but Hazelwood and Cummins are amazing. I still am gobsmacked, Tristan, and, you know, you love your cricket and you played a lot of it. Every time I've played in a game of cricket, the big fast bowler gets the new ball. Right. And now I know Stark gets a wicket with his first ball, but Pat Cummins is recognised as the best test bowler on the planet, but he bowls first change for Australia. I just wonder, Dennis Lilly saying to Rodney Hogg, no, okay, Rodney, you bowl the first over, that's fine. You know, Glenn McGrath saying to Paul Rifle, yeah, no worries, you bowl the first. It's just a really strange situation, complicated now by the fact that Pat Cummins is captain of the country. So I think that's extraordinary.
Yeah, and as we know, he got a wicket first ball, but I agree with you. Like, Pat Cummins is our marquee man, and now he's the captain. It's sort of a difficult situation, but I suppose Stark is most dangerous with that swinging ball. So I don't mind the fact giving him a couple of overs and then bringing Cummins in. But yeah, you're right. It changes things up. And just to touch on those points that Jared made, like, yeah, it's the reality is they batted and they got bowled out for whatever, 140-odd, and whether you pick Anderson or Broad, it doesn't make a difference in that sense, but it's the mentality, which is the thing that I'm finding strange from an English side of things. When you see them in the short-form cricket, they're the most, they're confident, bordering on arrogant, and it served them really, really well. I know they didn't quite get to the final in the T20, but they've been the flagship team in that short format. And you get to a series here where the brave decision would have been to bowl in that option yesterday. I know it's very difficult and it's very easy in hindsight, but if you're coming into a series as the big underdogs, you've got conditions overhead which are conducive to your team. Not only do you pick the safe option and bat, which I think most captains probably would have done, but then they leave out the two biggest exponents of those conditions and they leave them sitting on the bench to to hopefully get through to Adelaide at nil all or 1-0 up and then to use them. It's praying and it's hoping rather than taking the game by the scruff of the neck. And from the Aussie perspective, it didn't work for them.
Well, the other thing was they then left themselves all but with no choice but to bat, having left those two guys out. I mean, if they in winning the toss and those two guys being in the team, surely you would have given consideration to bowling first, given the conditions. Now, I know the obvious is that you bat first in Test cricket, but the last four tests decided at the Gabba, the team that's batted first has lost. Well, this will be five in a row because Australia will wipe the floor here now over the next couple of days. Secondly, in leaving those guys out in a five-game series, and as you say, Jimmy, the first two tests would have been the right two tests to play those two bowlers. They could well have been in a position to at least been a couple of draws, possibly a win, going into the third test and being half a chance into the back end of the series. I mean, right now they're staring right down the barrel of a demoralising loss that could then potentially lead to a 4 or 5 nil series and limping all the way home. I mean, the English media should be ripping them apart.
Josh Butler top scores for 39. So we're doing this on the morning of the Thursday, day two of the Test match. England all out 147. Cummins with 5 wickets as well. So how that plays out, I'm looking at the Top Sport website. Why can I not find a price, Tristan? Am I? I want to have a look at high bat for Australia.
I think that's the Jimmy Smith US block still applying, mate.
Once the game goes in play, we do have to switch it to a live market, but it should be like in between innings. I'll have to have a chat with the boys because we should have that market up. But yeah, it will be Steve Smith will be the favourite. He'll be around about that $3 mark. Labuschagne, $3.50. Warner Harris, sort of the next one. It's going to be interesting looking at the conditions. I really like Marcus Head. He was at the $7.50 price just because I thought there might have been a little bit of movement. But looking at the weather around here at the moment, the certainly on the Gold Coast, the clouds aren't there. So it could be a really good spot for the Aussies to be batting right at the moment. If they had have been having to bat in that last session last night, I think it would have been a bit dangerous.
Sorry, who are you looking at, mate? High bat? Who was $7?
I was looking at Travis Head yesterday at $7.50 just because I thought there was an opportunity of the new ball causing a bit of carnage when those conditions were overhead. But looking at the conditions now, I don't necessarily think it's going to be as big a drama as what I was looking at yesterday.
Well, once that big storm blew through last night, there's been no rain since. Absolute beautiful, sunny, hot conditions here this morning. Play will start on time. I mean, it looks a beautiful, sunny day. Australia's going to get the best of that pitch and bat into day two and day three. And I mean, there's possibility of some late storms, given the weather forecast that we have. But, you know, Australia's now going to get the best benefit of that pitch.
Do it responsibly, but I don't think you can put too much on Stephen Smith to be high bat. It's just all set up for him, isn't it? Better conditions, leadership position now, still criticised. This blows me away that he still gets criticised for being, I won't say he was hung out to dry by Cricket Australia, but you're not far short of that. I'm all over him at the $3.
I thought the other thing that was very interesting to watch yesterday on that point too, Jimmy, was his leadership. Clearly as vice-captain, but, you know, he was playing at second slip, and I just thought his body language, his talk around the team, yeah, the leadership is there. And I think that it's great to see him back as vice-captain. I think it's outstanding that Cummings is the man. I think the way Cummings handled himself over the last couple of days leading into the test and then the modesty of the morning, the fact that he gives Stark the new ball, but two overs later then chimes in, you know, I think it's a great little leadership position that Australia have, and very good for our Test cricket moving forward.
All right, so we'll look at that topsport.com.au market for that one. BBL is in earnest, I'll tell you what, we had a doubleheader last night, and we're going to get a doubleheader on Boxing Day, and it seems a little bit wall-to-wall cricket. I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on it. Certainly the games that I've watched coming through the television, there is zero atmosphere. And I think they got a magnificent broadcast deal, right, which may have been altered subsequently by Channel 7. Fox Sports has wall-to-wall cricket, and they obviously love it to reduce that churn from subscribers coming out of the AFL and the NRL season. I think you need to be careful about cooking the golden goose, and I just get the sense that Cricket Australia might have done that. And I know there's all these different reasons guys about why people aren't getting back to live events, and there's a hesitancy associated with that for obvious reasons. But some of the crowds that we've seen in the first couple of Big Bash games have been really, really disappointing. It might change in school holiday period. I'm presuming that it will. But I think it's something Cricket Australia need to look at.
Oh, I completely agree with you. And I was at, as we know, I was at that first day yesterday of the test match, and the atmosphere. Well, I was going to say I was electric when I walked in. The amount of people, the only thing which probably being an Aussie fan was good in hindsight was the English were a little bit quiet because of the way the game fell out. But you see that atmosphere, and then you look at the TV. I've hardly watched a game of the Big Bash, and I'm a big cricket fan. And I think it's been trending towards this direction for a while.
Yep.
And the season is longer and longer, and the star power is lesser and lesser. And people were saying, you know, the T20 was going to overrun the Test cricket. We've seen when the Ashes, when the number one team or the number one rivalry in Test cricket comes back to our shores, there's no correlation. No, you know, it is the focus, and the Big Bash is starting to worry me in terms of how, like the turnover on the WBBL is very similar to the Big Bash at the moment, which is a worry from that side of it, and no disrespect to the WBBL. So I'm not sure how we fix it. As you say, the crowds are diminishing. It may increase once the school holidays come around, but there's got to be some tweaks because I think there were some negative tweaks, and it won't take much to bring it back, but you need some superstars. You need people looking at it, because what we're doing is we're directly competing with the IPL, rolling into the T20 World Cup, rolling into the Big Bash, and it is by far and away the third of those three tournaments. And people have seen a lot of cricket over the last little bit. So,
I think you can put a fork in it and turn it over. It's just completely cooked now. I mean, the changes they've made over the last 3 years, I think, have just completely ruined what was an absolute winning schedule. Why in the hell would you, on day one of a Test cricket, to open an Ashes series, then have a doubleheader that night? I mean, that's just absolutely brainless. And if we go back 4 or 5 years ago, there was nothing better than the start of the school holidays to coincide with the start of the BBL season and kick back with your kids at 6 o'clock each night, have a bit of a barbecue, watch the game. It was all over within an hour and a half or thereabouts. And the TV ratings were outstanding. You know, the following of the game was outstanding. Then they've crammed and broadened the schedule with more and more games. Also, all of these really dumb double-header schedules, in my opinion. I think it's just completely turned off not only the television audience, but clearly the in-house audience, Jimmy. And last night was just so typical of some really poor decision-making. I have had very little interest in the last couple of years. If I go back 4 or 5 years ago, I absolutely loved it through the Christmas holidays. And I would kick back with my kids and watch it each night, or friends or alike. I mean, I tell you, I probably watched 2 or 3 games last season.
Here we go. Scarcity is an economic concept, right? And if we have a look at the NFL, which we'll get to very shortly, I won't say they did it kicking and screaming, but the move from 16 to 17 games, you know, what do we look at that as a percentage increase? 6.6 or whatever, you know. Since the first BBL season, there were 28 matches. Then there were 32. Now there's 56. You know, they're as we said, they've cooked the goose, and it's just, and double headers on, you know, three games of cricket to watch in one day. You're asking too much of people. And I think they just need to be really careful. As for the cricket itself, Sixers, Thunder, Scorchers, almost the usual suspects are going to be really, really strong again. I totally agree about the lack of star power that we get. It's great that we see these young guys come through and they get an opportunity at that level, but, you know, that's no Chris Gales and no AB de Villiers and the equivalent. It's just not quite working for me at the moment. It'd be really interesting to see live crowds when school holidays is in play, and also what the TV numbers are going to be like. Thoughts on the competition itself, Tristan, around markets for winners looking for the Sixers to go back to back to back?
Yeah, and we've got the game tonight where the Strikers are taking on the Renegades. It's 172 the Strikers, $2.16 the Renegades. These two sides faced off only a couple of days ago, so it's an interesting concept having the teams back up and play each other again in such a short season. But looking at the outright betting, we see the Sixers at $3.75, the Scorchers $5, the Hurricanes $6, and the Thunder at $6 with the Stars at $8. So six is very short to go back to back to back.
Market Watch is proudly brought to you by Top Sport, home of the Top Sport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.